It's time to talk science, or is it science today? Dr. Carl Krusiniki, author of many books, including Dr. Carl's little book of climate change science, joins us. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you, Dr. Luke?
I'm very, very good. I want you to listen to something and tell me if you relate to this.
That's got to be some cockroach.
Batman, what happened? Are you okay?
He slimed me.
That's great. Actual physical contact.
There's something very important I forgot to tell you.
What?
Don't cross the streams.
We are talking this morning, folks, about hunting ghosts. And Dr. Carl Krusiniki has some interesting thoughts on all of this. Good morning once again. What have you got?
I'd love to find ghosts in the same way that I'd love to find aliens, but it just seems like the proof that they've got, the evidence, the data, is really weak. Like, on one hand, this ghost is supposed to be non-physical, and yet somehow they're supposed to be able to make knocking noises via vibrations. But the one that really gets me is that you're supposed to find them by having some sort of electrical gauge.
Yeah, like in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, you have an electrical gauge and it goes up and down. Let me ask you a question. Have you, Dr. Luke, have you ever walked around a house somewhere trying to find the point where you've got the best phone reception?
Yes, 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 I have. Lots of us have, yes.
Have you ever said, aha, the reason that the phone reception is varying is, choose one, A, there are ghosts eating it up, or two, the El Cheapo telecommunication companies in Australia don't put in enough towers?
I'm going for number B.
Yeah, right. Okay, yet, in the shows that you see on TV and online, you'll see some people creeping around in the dark, and they're having themselves a little meter, and on a meter, suddenly a needle goes, and they're getting a strong signal. That's like getting a strong signal on your phone and saying, there's ghosts here. Mm-hmm. Mate, are they serious?
So, do you? First of all, the question is, do you believe in ghosts?
I'd like to believe. And people say that funny things happen to them, and certainly we've been able to mimic some of those. So, in some cases, we've found by taking in ultrasound or infrasound receivers, we've been able to pick up in a tunnel, for example, like a concentration of sound. And when you get to that place, you sort of feel a little bit queasy. Mm-hmm. Secondly, we've actually done the experiment with putting high amounts of electromagnetic signals into the brain, and we're talking really high amounts. And so the article in New Scientist talked about how they were funneling these waves into her brain, and suddenly she felt as though she was lying on a bench, she felt, the reporter, as though her right leg was lifting at the hip. She was bending her leg, and her leg was going straight up, but she could look at it, it was dead straight. It was lying next to the other leg, but it felt like it was just lifting higher and higher until it was almost vertical. Mm. And then they fooled around with the frequencies a bit more in this laboratory, and suddenly she felt this feeling of incredible dread. Mm-hmm. So it could be that in some places there are strong electromagnetic signals that have coalesced, like waves on a beach come into a big wave or something like that, and then you feel dread. But to say that's actually a ghost is different. And then if you go back there and then just measure some sort of electrical field, mate, what you're measuring is electrical field, not a ghost.
So do you believe in paranormal activity? Are you Dr. Vateman from Ghostbusters?
Please. I really want to believe.
Yeah.
I just need the proof.
Yeah.
And, you know, extraordinary claims need extraordinary proof.
Yeah, so without the proof. See, you're a man of science.
The other side to it is this.
Yeah.
There's a saying among scientists, and it goes like this. I hold my theories on the tips of my fingers, so the merest breath of fact will blow them away.
Mm-hmm.
And so some outsiders go, oh, these scientists are all arrogant, and they love their theories, and they're not going to give them up for anything. Mate, the scientists want them to be destroyed so that something new and unexpected can come through, and then they'll get a Nobel Prize. You know, they really want things to be tipped over. And, for example, with the Big Bang, we've got three major sort of pillars of proof, and they're fairly solid. But if something comes along that knocks them over, everybody's going to go, who bloody Ray, as opposed to let's just cover it up from the general public because we want to keep our grants coming.
Is it at all scientific to say somebody can get a deck of tarot cards, get you to shuffle them, then shuffle them again and pull them out, and then by some random chance in the order you pull them out, your future is there? It's to me, it sounds ridiculous.
I'm with you on that. And it also helps if they're a magician, because magicians can make you pull out the Seven of Spades. How do you do that? Or the Ace of Diamonds. How do you do that?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, you know, I've seen...
It's an illusion. They're illusionists.
Oh, yeah. They're really good at it, and they won't tell you their secret. And I've seen...
But it's not magic.
Stuff.
It's...
No. Well, it's magic in the sense that it's hand magic and prestidigitation, but it's not a miracle.
I used to work at another radio network, and they used to have this woman on who claimed that she was an astronomer, a tarot card reader, could tell fortunes and pick up ghosts. And I've never seen such a fraud in my life. And she used to get callers on the air, and she used to pretend that she was shuffling tarot cards. It was actually her panel operator that did this shuffled thing near a microphone to get the sound effects. And then she would read out of a book what she claimed to the caller was on the card. I'd never seen such bullshit. It made me very angry because the people that she was talking to were vulnerable, and they desperately wanted to think that she was giving them advice that was coming from the beyond, and it was crap.
Mm.
It made me very, very angry.
Mm.
By the way, before I go, I have an apology for you.
Me? Yeah. I'm not worthy, but go on, lay it on me.
Yeah, now, my good wife, the Minister for War and Finance and Leader of the Opposition, you remember ages ago, I said to you, lithium power has weight. Because when my battery for my blower goes flat,
uh-huh,
and I get the new one off the charger to put back in, it's heavier. Wait.
Yeah,
I told
on.
You yep. There's an apology. And mm-hmm. I said to Nikki, Dr. Carl's wrong. I can tell when the leaf blower is out of power, and I put the new battery in that's fully charged and it's much heavier. And Nikki said to me last Saturday, Dr. Luke, here's the two batteries. One's bigger than the other.
Oh, my God.
She said...
They're different sizes.
They're different sizes. They fit on the
different
same
capacities.
Charger. They fit on the same charger. They look the same, but one is bigger and heavier. And she said, you get on the radio, quick, smart, and apologize to Dr. Carl.
Well... There is actually a microscopic amount of weight increase in a fully charged battery.
I've just handed you a gold-plated apology, Doc, please.
I accept. But also, you're right, too, in that there is a microscopic weight increase, but it's truly microscopic, and possibly even the finest weighing scales on Earth couldn't measure it.
It follows
the E equals MC squared thing.
Dr. Carl, always a pleasure.
Dr. Luke, thank you.
Why? It would be bad.
I'm fuzzy on the whole good-bad thing. What do you mean bad?
Try to imagine all life as you know it stopping instantaneously and every molecule in your body exploding at the speed of light.
Total protonic reversal.
Right, that's bad.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass!